it was very crucial, actually, that we should be in the congregation, in the church at that time. Even though it was a very short period of time, it was very crucial. It was part of the suddenlies of God that God tends to do with us. And our coming to Australia actually was a very suddenly of God. We hadn't planned to come here. I don't think anybody knew that we were coming until actually we were coming. And but God has his purposes and plans. And this is something we've tried to cultivate in our hearts and in our life as a family, to be aware of what God wants to do and just be willing to drop everything and go. And not hold on to anything. And I think a little bit of what Debbie was talking about, how Jesus is very precious, is very crucial in that. What do you consider precious to you will be the limitation of what you do. Okay? If you consider your house precious, that's as far as you go. That's it. Whatever you consider precious is your limitation. But for us, here in the church, Jesus is very precious. There's no limitation then. You're able to go anywhere he takes you, and there's no limits to you. Amen? Things tend to be the weights upon us that stop us from actually doing what Jesus wants us to do. And I would like to encourage you in that. Consider, and that's a very, what do you call it? Intentional thing. It's not a thing that's an accident. It's not something that's coincidental. It's not something that just happens automatically. Jesus, we consider Jesus as precious. Amen? And so in this world where you have so much, the bombardment, you see propaganda everywhere. You need this, you need this, this is good, this is good. Yet you go into the bank and you're bombarded with all sorts of stuff and possibilities to buy whatever your heart's desire is. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So what is precious to you, that's where your heart is. It's very important to guard your heart, as Proverbs says, because out of the heart flows the streams of life. Amen? It's very important to worship is that orientation. The verse that God put into my heart is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I think all of you know that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But the problem is that we seek God, we seek his kingdom, not because he is precious to us, but because the things that he promises and blesses it with is precious to us. And so we seek God, we seek his kingdom, because we need those things around us, or we think we need them. When really what we need is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's who we need. Paul says in Colossians that in him we are complete. We are complete. If that is true, we don't need anything else. You're free. Totally free. You don't have to be dependent on anything else. You're not dependent on your health. You're not dependent on your finance. You're not dependent on your job. You're not dependent on your family. It's Jesus who completes you. God puts us into family so that we can be a blessing to them, not because we need them, but because it's vital for us to give, to love, to serve, to share, to forgive. Amen? It's very important. Many people are crippled through the need of having people show them love. Always. If you don't show them love, they get upset and they push you away. People get married out of their need for an emotional stability in a relationship. And if they don't get it, they divorce or they separate. And as Christians, many times, the heart is so hurt and frustrated and disillusioned because expectations have not been met. Jesus is the one who fulfills us and completes us. And it's absolutely necessary that he be precious to us. If he is not precious to us, then we will not seek the kingdom of God first. When we seek the kingdom of God, that has to take all priority in our life. And Jesus promises that he will supply all that we need. When I'm teaching the Mozambican pastors, this is one of the foundational things that we try to lay in their lives, because they come out of a background of huge need, of war, of hunger, of devastation, destruction in their country. And they're so, they've inherited an attitude or a way of life which is to seek first the things that they need. For example, food. They farm for to be able to survive. Food is so basic for to them, and they think that they need food to survive, and it's true. But that becomes the priority. In Bible school, for example, when we first arrived there in 2005, one of my first responsibilities was to crowd control, because we have 350 students, Mozambican students, in a very small area studying. And then when it comes to mealtime, there's a stampede. And their plates, you know, these bowls, they're about this wide. They're plastic. They're plastic bowls. And they just pile it high. And they consume that. And there's no, if there's any seconds available, those who are first will rush to the counter and try and get there first to try and even get more than that. And there have been fights. They've hit one another. There's huge punch-ups, and my job was to try and keep order in that sort of a situation. That's mainly because they're still with that mentality, this spirit of poverty and of orphan. They think they need to survive. They don't understand that God, their Father, loves them and cares for them, and they can relax. So when you talk to them about fasting, they can't even conceive fasting. They can't even miss a day, a meal, without, you know, being scared that they're going to die. And I've asked many times the pastors, when I'm out with them in the villages and so forth, if when we have a conference, please, why don't we do away with food? Because it takes so much time in the day. And they said, no, we need to have our food. We need to have our food. They can't even conceive the thought that they can go without food. But you know, here in Australia, it's the same thing. When we first arrived, there's a program on television, My Kitchen Rules. And then you have all of the shows that teach you how to cook. And there are people who travel the world looking for different dishes to present them to Australian society. And food has become so important. And you pay a lot of money for food here. And in Mozambique, a plate of rice with some beans is many times all that we get. And being in Mozambique has stripped away all of the trappings, all of the stuff that clings to us in this society in which we think is important. And really, it's not important. Really, it's not important. But all of those sort of things stop us from actually pursuing God and for loving Him, seeking Him. Not that it's not, not that you can't have that. That's not what I'm trying to say, okay? I think it's good to be able to eat, have your coffee. I love my coffee as well. And that's not the point. The point is the heart. What is precious to you? What is precious to you? Are you seeking the Lord? Most people, in Mozambique, a lot of people are striving to have their ministries. We have, in the Bible school, people who are being trained to be pastors. And there are people who come, who go through the Bible school. And then the fifth year is preparation. How can I explain it? They go through the mission school that we have for the foreigners. And it's a mission school. And so Mozambicans that go through the first 4 years of Bible school then are able to go through the fifth year, which is actually the 3 months mission school training that we have for foreign students that come in. And for the Mozambican, that's the highlight, the huge privilege and the door open for them to have all the privilege that what they think is for that we as missionaries receive. Because they look at the missionary that comes in, he's the boss. He's the one that tells everybody what to do. He's the one that organizes. He's the one that brings all the resources. He's the one who is able to have groups of people under him and so forth. And so when a person, a Mozambican, goes through the Bible school and then goes to the mission school, he's made it. And they go back home. They even tell the pastors to sit down. And they're taking over the church. And all of this sort of thing. They love positions. And but the gospel is so different to that. You know, the kingdom of this world, to be important is to be in a position. And to be recognized is to have a lot of money. Or whatever you're doing is important. And people put you in categories, in boxes. And they place value on you being up higher than other people. What you have is important for people. And that's why the propaganda, the ads and the television are so successful. Because people want what other people have. I don't have that. I must be missing out on something. I need that. And so I will have to go and buy it because I need to have what they're enjoying. But in the kingdom of God, it's totally different. It's very different. If you want to be great, be a servant. Being great in the world, for God, is the least in the kingdom of heaven. You can be important for everybody, but for God, you might be the lowest. Jesus, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, you know, there are people who will go around and do miracles and do lots of stuff in my name, but I don't know them. I don't know them because for them, Jesus has been a means to make themselves known and to have power and authority, which brings a lot of fruit, but for them, Jesus isn't precious. What Jesus longs for is relationship, not activity. John chapter 15, where Jesus says that our fruitfulness comes from being in him. He is the vine, we are the branches. If we're not abiding in him in intimacy, knowing him, having relationship with him, then we can't bear fruit. Fruit is only a consequence of our relationship with him. Amen. And actually, fruit in our lives isn't to make us known. It's to make the tree known. Because you know the kind of tree that is by the fruit it gives. Okay? We're just the branches. And it's Jesus that becomes known as great through the fruit that we give. And it's not us that's important. It's Jesus that's important. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It has to do with the heart. Okay? It's not an obligation. The moment you take it as an obligation or as the right thing to do, it's no longer because Jesus is precious. It becomes a work thing to impress or to fit in. Oh, everybody else is doing it. I think I better look for it too. It becomes a work thing. Jesus said something very interesting in John chapter 6. Verse 27 and verse 26 says, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you see the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And they said to him, what shall we do that we may do the work of the works of God? Or work the works of God. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Isn't that beautiful? You don't even have to go out and get a job. You don't have to do that. You don't even have to support your family. You don't have to do that. What is the work that you have to do? Believe in him. Believe in him. The moment you begin to put your hope and your completeness, everything in Jesus, he will then begin to lead you into what you should do. Because fruit comes from relationship with him. He will show you which job you need to go to and apply for it. And when you get that job isn't because you want to get a good salary, but actually it's to fulfill his purposes. And you're in that job because he showed you that job so that you can be a vessel in his hands to impact the people that are around you there. You'll get a salary. You don't have to worry about that. That's not your business. That's God's business. And if you get chucked out of that job, it's not because they don't want you. It's because God has something else for you. And you don't have to get frustrated. You don't have to be afraid, because you believe. That's the work that he wants you to do. Believe in him. Believe him. Establish your relationship with him. Trust him. And he will lead you. And if you come across things that frustrate you, there are two things that are happening there. One, he's dealing with your character. And the other is that through that, he is preparing you for other things. You have to seek the kingdom of God first in everything. Just because you're you might just be a cleaner in the street. For God, that's precious. If you're there because God has placed you there, God values you highly. Doesn't matter what other people think, because you're not there because of trying to prove yourself. You're there because you love Jesus, and Jesus has a purpose for you in doing that, because there's somebody there that you're going to meet, that you're going to impact, or there's something that you will be involved in while you're sweeping the streets that God wants to do to work in your heart and prepare you for other things. Seek first the kingdom of God. So many people I'm meeting in Australia that are so depressed, very depressed, Christians too. They're frustrated because things aren't working out for them, so they say. So they think. But you know, what Jesus wants is us to humble ourselves and to seek him and consider him precious. Hallelujah. You know, James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials and difficulties. Why? Because it's producing in us a change. And you know, when we're comfortable, we like comfort. We love it. Everything is going very smoothly, but you go to sleep when it's too comfortable. And there's no progress, there's no growth, nothing. And when difficulties come, it's because God is up to something. He loves you. And he wants to produce things in you, a change in you, and you need to wake up because there's a change coming. That's why we rejoice when there's difficulties, when there's trials. A tree, when it's pruned, suffers, it weeps. The sap runs out of those places where it's cut, but it's necessary because the usefulness of those branches, which was a real blessing, need to go so that new growth can come, so that there more fruit could appear. Amen. If you don't want to be pruned, if you don't want to go through the difficulties and trials, you might just stop bearing fruit. But because of God's love, he takes us through these things. So don't get upset about it. Don't think it's because you're a failure. You know, we tend to judge ourselves according to the way the people judge us. And we need to look to Jesus to see how he looks at us and what he wants to do in us. And his way of life is very different. And if we consider him precious, that passage that Debbie touched on in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about that if you trust him, you will never be disappointed. You will never be disappointed. It's when we don't trust him and we don't consider him precious and believe in him that we get really disappointed. We get let down. We think God has let us down. We think God isn't fulfilling his promises. We think people are letting us down. People aren't treating us nicely. You know, all of these things begin to enter into our life. And we become disillusioned and bitter. Disappointed with God. The moment you get disappointed with God, barriers come up and you distance yourself from God and you begin to look for other areas or other things that will console you. And so it's so important that we open our heart. In Isaiah, the prophet says that in those days he will pour out his spirit upon us. And the purpose of that is to give us a new heart that will seek him and love him and obey him, not out of obligation, but because in our heart we have seen his glory and we love him and we consider him precious. And that's the whole purpose of believing in Jesus, receiving his spirit. Jesus said in those passages where he talks about the Holy Spirit in John 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, he talks about how the Holy Spirit will be given so that Jesus will be glorified. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not to make us great. It's not to be able to do lots of things so people look at us. But it's actually so that we can give him glory. And we can minister to one another and serve one another in love. Hallelujah. And so it's no longer thinking about ourselves, because seeking first the kingdom of God means I need to just forget about myself. I forget about myself. It doesn't matter whether I live. It doesn't matter whether I die. Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose his life for my sake will find it. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. You don't have to fear. You don't have to think, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? Let Jesus handle that. Jesus said, today. Think about today. Tomorrow will look after itself. Matthew chapter 6. It's the pagans who think about how they're going to eat and dress themselves tomorrow. It's the pagans. But you seek first the kingdom of God. You believe in me, Jesus says. Trust me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you can be assured, God being faithful, that everything will be provided for you. He will lead you. Many people are so frustrated because they can't get the job they want. Things happen financially with their jobs and so forth. You know, God can do a lot better job than you. He knows all things. And a lot of times, God has a work to do in our hearts, trying to set us free from the idols we put up in our own hearts so that he can be precious in our heart. Hallelujah.